from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Greg Newsom on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Greg, welcome to the show, bud.
What's going on? How you guys doing?
Well, we're doing all right, man. I got to know how you're doing. Obviously, you're coming off the hamstring surgery. How you feeling heading into week one?
Man, I feel amazing. Feel 100%, you know, body-wise. You know, they did a great job of just keeping my mental good. So, you know, when I was able to get back out there on the field, it felt like I never left.
So now we got to ask you the very important question, because we care about percentages in sports. Are you 100% right now?
110, I'm 110%.
So walk us through that. Obviously, you know, you were at your alma mater. You get banged up there. Is this the most significant injury you've had in your career?
In the NFL, yes. College, I had some a little bit more significant, but yeah, NFL definitely. I would say this is my most significant one.
So given that it kind of ate into camp and it ate into the preseason, how does that affect you as a player and as somebody, you know, I mean, all humans are creatures of habit, but especially football players, we know you guys like your routine.
Yeah. You know, it was a little challenging at first. Just honestly, the most challenging part was just not being out there on the field with the guys. But like I said, man, I'm, you know, going into year four, I didn't seen everything. I know how training camp works. So I knew I would be in a position, you know, to get myself back ready to play. You know, like I said, my coaches did a great job just keeping me engaged in meetings, you know, out there trying to coach the guys on the field. So I feel like I really never left the field. I might not have been there, you know, physically, but, you know, mentally I was out there on the field. So, you know, I'd definitely be ready to go.
Well, we got week one. You got Dallas this week. And there's a lot of talk. I don't know if you know this. There are a lot of Cowboys fans out there. Or so they claim. Does it feel like there are more eyes on this game as the opener because you're facing Dallas and because it also happens to be Tom Brady's broadcasting debut?
Yeah, I think it's a multitude of things. You know, we're going against one of the, you know, best or not the best offense in the league. And then, you know, they're coming, you know, to face the best defense in the league. So, you know, I think that's going to bring a lot of eyes in itself. And then obviously, you know, Tom Brady, being the, you know, the greatest to do it, him being on broadcast is definitely going to put some more eyes. So, you know, we're super excited, and we'll be ready for the challenge.
All right. I'm speaking of that rhythm thing, that, you know, ritual thing. I, as a fan, gripe about 4:30 kicks and Sunday night football and Monday night football because I like my 10 a.m., my 11 a.m., my noon. I like my 1 p.m. kickoff. I like my buildup to it. Does a 4:30 Eastern kick time, does that change your rituals and rhythm at all?
Not too much. I wake up around the same time. The only thing that I'll be able to change is that I'll just be able to be around my family a bit longer, you know, before the game. And then, you know, food-wise, I'm going to have to, you know, and take a little bit more, I would say, since it's a later kickoff. But You know, we live for moments like this. You know, primetime games, you know, every team isn't fortunate enough, you know, to be on primetime a lot. So, you know, when we do get the opportunity to, you know, be on primetime, you know, we got to show up and show out.
Now, see, you stumbled on the food thing, and I happen to be a heavy set person. And so you've wandered right into, like, the nook and cranny of what I love. I'm curious, like, what does that pregame meal look like? Do you go small on it? Are you just going to get all the sugar in the world? Like, how do you build that pregame food ritual?
Yeah, so me, it's, you know, when I wake up, just a big bowl of fruit, you know, some berries and things like that. That's pretty much, you know, the basis of what I eat. You know, I get a bowl of oatmeal, and things like that as well in the morning. But, you know, now since we do have a later kickoff, I'll keep that same routine and then, you know, throw in a, you know, extra snack probably a little bit before the game. So that's just kind of my pre-game routine. I don't like eating too much. You know, I eat a lot of carbs the night before to fuel my body. And then, you know, in the morning, a lot of fruit and, you know, some oatmeal.
I've always been a carbs in the morning, carbs at night, carbs in the middle of the day, afternoon, all the different ways they get carbs in there. I like to. Greg Newsom, Browns Corner on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So, you know, there is facing Dak Prescott, but your defense is facing Dak Prescott. You are one of the corners that gets to match up one-on-one with CeeDee Lamb at points. What are the challenges of going up against a player like CeeDee?
Yeah, the challenge is, you know, he's a great player. He lines up everywhere. He can run the entire route tree, fast, big, physical, great at the catch point. So he's a great receiver, you know, and we're going to definitely have to just be on our A game. You know, he's one of the most targeted, highest targeted guys, you know, in the NFL. So, you know, at all moments, you know, you got to be ready to go. So it's just being a technician out there and just, you know, accepting the challenge.
When you're watching the film, there's a lot of sports talk scuttlebutt around Dak Prescott. But when you're watching the film, what do you see in Dak Prescott?
Yeah, I honestly don't think people give, you know, him enough credit. You know, he's in a very, very elite quarterback. He can make every single throw. He's big, strong, physical. Yeah, so I just think he's very elite. And, you know, he can make every single throw out there. He's great with his feet. I mean, he could do a lot of things. I don't think people give him enough credit, but, you know, we definitely do.
I will second that. People don't give Dak Prescott enough credit. I underrate the man at your own peril. So one of the big storylines was not just your hamstring injury, but Denzel Ward suffering another concussion here. He's talked about that process, but given that you guys share the cornerback room, given that you guys play – you know, that same position, how much did you guys in the room talk with Denzel about his decision, about where he was in his life after the reported numbers, his fifth concussion?
Yeah, we don't really talk too much about that. You know, at the end of the day, we're just making sure that he's healthy and that he knows, you know, we got his back. So other than that, that's all we talk about. You know, he's a man, he makes his own decisions, and, you know, we're going to ride with the decision he makes. If he's ready to go, he's ready to go, and we're going to, you know, support him out there on the field. So, you know, that's his deal. That's his injury. But I know Denzel Ward, and he's a warrior, and he'll be ready to go as well on Sunday.
So Rodney McLeod was on our morning show earlier this week, and he talked about wanting to be not just the number one defensive back room in the NFL, but the number one trash-talking defensive back room in the NFL. How much weight do you carry when it comes to trash talking on Sundays? Do you feel like you're the heavyweight champion of the defensive back room?
Yeah, I think I am. And it's not even necessarily what I say. It's just about my actions, you know, just always celebrating, dancing, just bringing a lot of energy. I feel like offenses hate, you know, seeing us celebrating and doing all that. So I think that's all the trash talking, you know, you need. Just having all guys out there just energetic, celebrating each other's success. But, you know, I definitely think I'm the head honcho when it comes to that.
Well, Jim Schwartz has gone on the record multiple times about the importance of that energy that you're talking about and picking up teammates. And if you don't celebrate after a play, that you get it's considered a loaf. I'm curious, was there ever a time last year where Jim Schwartz had to tell you, I need a little bit more celebration out of you?
Nah, not with me. I'm always the one, man. No matter what's happening, no matter if we're down, we're up, tied, doesn't matter. You know, I'm always going to bring that energy all the time. So yeah, that's definitely never a conversation with me and Coach Schwartz.
Greg Newsom, Browns cornerback in the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. This offseason, the Browns picking up that fifth-year option for you, guaranteeing you that fifth-year option for next year. I'm just curious, what does it mean and what did it mean to you when the organization showed that faith in you by picking up that fifth-year option?
Man, it just shows me, man, that, you know, first, God is great. And, you know, second is just, you know, they have a lot of trust in me, you know, for the future. You know, of this organization, that, you know, I was doing some of the right things out there on the field, not just on the field, but, you know, around the locker room. And it feels great to be wanted, you know, especially from the team that drafted you. you know, a lot of guys don't get their fifth years picked up. So, you know, that's just great. And I just hope I'm here long term.
Greg, it's interesting you say that. Obviously, you've got this year's deal, you got next year's deal. When it comes to some of the scuttlebutt around picking up that fifth-year option, there were some rumors out there, some reports out there that the Browns had fielded calls for you. Did that weigh on you at all this offseason, that kind of uncertainty between the fifth-year option and those rumors that were out there?
Nah, because for me, there was no uncertainty. You know, every day I come in here, I'm one of the leaders on the team, and I do, you know, what I'm supposed to do every single day. You know, obviously, A, B, and them have all the trust in me, so I was never worried about any of those rumors. I think a lot of people see and just make rumors like that when you got such a loaded group and things like that, but nah, not at all. You know, I know my place on this team. I know what value I provide. You know, I'm just super excited to get another run at it with these guys.
So I think this is more of a national mindset. So this is a don't shoot the messenger moment here. But there's some national scuttlebutt from very smart people that don't think the Browns can repeat what you guys did on defense last year because of the slate of quarterbacks you have this year. Do you guys hear all those doubters about the defense?
Nah, we don't. You know, the only message I could tell them is tune in. And that'll start on Sunday.
So what can we expect differently than year two? Because Jim Schwartz, both Kevin as well, has said, you know, you got to add wrinkles to this so that people aren't knowing what to expect every week. What's different this year?
There's nothing different. We're going to have the same exact mindset, which is an attack mindset. And, you know, we're going to go attack guys every single play. We're going to be aggressive. And we're going to play our style, our brand of ball. So we're just super excited to get another year at it.
So last year you had career highs in interceptions, tackles, passes defended. Pretty darn good season. But if Cleveland knows you the way we think Cleveland knows you here, I'm sure you have another bar you want to get to. So where do you set that bar going into year four?
Man, I really set the bar is honestly, you know, doing whatever the team needs. You know, whether that's me to replicate, you know, those whatever pass defender or interceptions, whether that's me, you know, getting more tackles or whatever the team needs, man. It's just to do my job, you know, at a very elite level and see where this team can go. You know, self-accolades, it doesn't mean anything if the team's not doing well. So it's just to, you know, just do my job at the best of my ability and see how far, you know, this team can go.
Greg, given that we've been on this journey with you now going on 4 years here, I'm curious whether you feel like or where you feel like maybe you've changed and maybe you're a little different, whether it's as a player, as a person, you know, from where you were when you showed up from Northwestern 4 years ago.
Yeah, man, I just feel like, you know, I'm not young. Like, I mean, I'm still young, but, you know, I've been in this a long time, so I know what to expect. I know what things to do. You know, to keep my body well. You know, I got different priorities now. You know, I got a baby on the way and things like that. So my mindset has changed. You know, I'm just excited to just, you know, continue to grow and, you know, just be that team player that I've always been.
Well, I always love to hear when guys get to have that baby on the way. This is your first?
Yes.
Oh, man, that's going to be the best. That and here's the thing. That it'll change your perspective. It'll change your life. Only brings happiness and all the good stuff there. So congrats on that.
Thank you.
So I guess as we've talked a lot of here, I'm just curious. I'm starting to get so amped up for this game on Sunday. And, dude, I got like 4 days to go. And I got nothing to do with this energy. I'm curious whether you – I mean, you played football for so long now, more than half your life. Do you still get amped up? Do you still have to check yourself middle of the week because you got days till game day?
Yeah, for sure. You know, that fiery side, anytime, you know, you get to get out there and play, it's a blessing. So it's definitely trying to stay even keel. You know, we don't have to play tomorrow. We don't have to be perfect today, but just trying to get better each and every day is the goal. But definitely, man, I get amped up for every game, you know, and especially the first one. So definitely during the week, I got to check myself and just stay grounded.
Well, listen, we're so excited to see what you guys do this year. We're excited for this game on Sunday. Keep using these words. Welcome to fatherhood. Seriously, you're going to love it. And thanks again for your time, Greg. Best wishes.
Appreciate it. You have a good one.
Greg Newsom, Browns Corner on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Just as a point, if you say, man, we're so excited for this and we can't wait to get out there and the excitement and all that, I think it's okay to admit that you do hear some of the doubters. I just think I don't believe it for a second, because we had talked with Greg and, hey, do you hear those doubters about the defense? And when he said no, I know we had just talked about it, but I was kind of like, okay, I just don't buy it. I just think it's impossible to ignore the noise. That being said, I do like the perspective on where he sounds like he is to begin the season, other than the I don't necessarily believe people who say that they don't hear all the hype or lack of hype or whatever.
Am I wrong in feeling like even the players don't, like, I know they're saying they're excited because it's their job and it's football and, they're probably excited to play actual games instead of just go out and training camp practice.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Practices and play, hit each other. But I don't. To me, I even feel like the vibe I get from the players is that they're very much just like, yeah, this is just back to the office, nothing special. I don't know.
So I don't disagree with you. I think that's a sign of the stability in Berea.
Yeah, no, that's a good way to, it's a good point in terms of, what it maybe represents. But it just feels different. And I don't know if it's, the Deshaun stuff that we already talked about, and, the uncertainty with him. But I do think there's kind of this, more... teams always put out the very cliche pictures of them boarding the plane, and it's this is a business trip, and it's and everyone gets excited about it, whatever. But I don't know if I think in some ways maybe it's that for the players, and I don't know if the fans are taking the same approach or if it's just the Deshaun thing that fans are kind of nervous about. But I'm kind of curious to see what this crowd is like on Sunday, because it's different from the normal routine I think Browns fans are used to without it being a 1 o'clock game. Are they going to have their full-throated effort ready for 425, as Kevin Stefanski always urges them to be?
Yeah, they got 3 extra hours to be drunk. I think they're going to be quite randy.
Is it going to be sort of a muffled crowd, or is it going to be the very intense Browns games that we always expecting? It probably will be the latter when we get there.
Or do you think it's more this is a business trip? I'm still trying to figure out what you were doing there. What was that? That was like a South Park character?
No, I just, whatever voice,
it's
whatever
a
voice comes out, just,
and
that's
Cleveland
the voice that
Browns
comes out.
Browns are here to win the AFC North.
It does kind of sound like a South Park character, though. I might have a future on that show. Ticker Derbs.
I think that would have been the best drop to have had when Joe Flacco was playing well last year. Deshaun, how do you feel about Joe Flacco? Nick Wilson, Spencer German here, and we also have a little podcast called Sons of the Shoe. This week, we're getting you ready for Game 2, Western Michigan. That's coming out later this week. But
why are we doing that, by the way?
Great question. Great question. Subscribe now on the free Odyssey app at 923thefan.com or wherever you get your podcast to make sure you have fresh episodes each week of the college football season. Sons of the Shoe, follow us today. But there is something, it's funny, we were going to talk about the hopeometer that The Athletic came out with earlier, and at some point it just feels like a kick in the nards. I've gotten to a point where when people say clickbait, I've started to detest that notion. Because, guys, little peek behind the curtain. Everybody's trying to get more eyeballs and more ears on their product. No one's like, it'd be great if I put a topic out there that less people listen to. But that being said, now that I've given you the general rule that I live by, which is everybody is an attention bleep in 2024, can I just say The Athletic Hopeometer results really felt extra attention bleepy, because One, and I'm not so, they allege, and I'm saying allege because you're always taking a word for it, that The Athletic is claiming that they have almost 12,000 fans that weighed in on this. Is that equally proportionate? Did we get like 300 fans per people, 400? Like,
I was curious about that too. Like, how was the 12,000 fans broken down? I'm assuming it wasn't 12,000 fans per team. So
also,
it's
was
probably
this AI generated? Like, you know how you have the AI, the meta recaps?
You just ask ChatGPT, like, hey, how much hope do Browns fans have? Not a lot? Okay, what's wrong with it?
30%. But that
hey, ChatGPT really is coming to Tickergers.
That actually, yeah. brought to you by ChatGPT Nick Wilson. So Lions are number one of a hopeometer. The Chiefs
that
are number two.
That actually made sense. What? I was like, okay. I get that, like, first time in years that they advanced far in the playoffs and whatever. Like, that one was, like, the one that actually was like, okay, I get it.
The Chiefs fans, totally makes sense. The Bears, okay, what's different about the Bears' hope this year than any of the years we talked ourselves into a quarterback a decade ago?
Aren't the Bears kind of, like, in the time frame we were when Baker Mayfield was finally drafted and started turning this around, where it's like,
yes,
there's mystery there, and so there is hope. Like, I don't think the Bears, I think the Bears should be higher on the list, like maybe in the top like half.
Yes.
But I also don't think, like, they also have never had a quarterback throw for 4,000 yards in a season. I get that there's a lot of expectations that that's going to be Caleb Williams finally, but until you really know, isn't it? It's just kind of like blind hope, but you don't really have a lot of faith that the team's going to like win the Super Bowl or anything.
Yeah, like I feel like there should be some sort of waiting process for just general delusion that everybody has. And if you have the number one pick at quarterback, I know C.J. Stroud last year as the number two pick did the unthinkable. It's called the unthinkable for a reason. Usually, rookie quarterbacks go to a team and they're not very good. Maybe it'll be different with Chicago, but if you want to look for Browns fans, hopeometer, that was a hiccup, 100%. Hiccup right there. That's going to be a drop going forward.
But right on the intro of the show.
So,
I think that'd
so
be
like
perfect.
Pittsburgh Steelers, their hopeometer, which is the dumbest damn name. Who does these odometer bits? Not me and previously my career. Pittsburgh fans, 41.5% optimism. You have to go. All right. The Carolina Panthers are at 38% optimism, according to the hopeometer.
Yeah, how are they higher than the Browns?
Because I think the books are cooked. Because I don't think this is a real thing. I think this is a made-up thing. I'm going to say it. I think it's clickbait. Like, I do think that there's a segment of fans who are out of touch with this team, who have probably spent less time thinking about the Browns in the offseason than they maybe ever had. And there's a few reasons for it. The big one is obvious. But like 35% fans, are we saying only 35% people are excited or optimistic about that season? I'll be honest with you. It just seems like another far-fetched way to hammer on the Cleveland Browns. I think there's more excitement about the Browns or intrigue about the Browns in this town than 35%.
I just don't understand like how the Browns could possibly be so low. Like after a season where they made the playoffs, I get there was different circumstances, all these different things. I also understand where to go back to the conversation we've had throughout the show about Deshaun and the mystery there, and you know a lot of pressure being on him this year. I understand where that's maybe the biggest thing infringing on people having quote unquote hope for the season. But even the fan base is even split on like Deshaun. I feel like in a lot of ways, like half the fan base thinks he's still going to be great. Half the fan base is like, I don't know, I'm not sure. And maybe it's like thirds, and there's a third of the fan base that's like, I don't want anything to do with him and I hate him. Like, but if that's the only thing that's like a holdup for people though, how is there no hope about everything else with this team? The defense is really good. We would imagine they have great skill position players. They added more to help Deshaun. The offense is all now revamped and new for him. Like you have the two-time coach of the year who's now locked in for a new contract extension. I don't understand how that it would possibly be that low, especially in a city, Nick, where the years that this team was poised to go 1-15 and 0-16, there was people calling in saying that they had a chance to still make the playoffs and like be a really good team. So I don't buy that for a second.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. Ooh. you get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.